Is it possible to heal from an affair if your partner doesn't agree that it was an affair? One of the most frustrating situations after betrayal is when the betrayed spouse and the unfaithful spouse don't even agree on what happened. One person might say, for an example, no, this, what happened, was an emotional affair. And the other person might say, no, it wasn't. It was just talking. It was just checking in. It was nothing. And now the betrayed spouse feels stuck, because how are you supposed to heal from something fully when your partner won't even acknowledge it? How are they supposed to take accountability for something that they don't even believe they did? And how are you supposed to rebuild trust with someone who says they didn't really ever break it? It's extremely maddening. And if you're in this position, you are completely within your rights to say that you need accountability. You're not crazy for wanting them to understand why it hurt, or for them to admit that secrecy, hiding, emotional intimacy, flirtation, attachment, private communication, all of these damage the marriage. And it's very hard to heal with someone who keeps minimizing these things that wounded you. But in this video, I want to talk about ways that you can still heal individually, even if they never fully agree with you. And in some cases, you can even heal as a couple while still disagreeing about certain details. But those are two very different things. Because when people talk about healing from betrayal, they often combine two separate questions. The first question is, can I heal as an individual? And then the second question is, can we heal as a couple? Those are not at all the same question. You can heal individually even if the relationship does not survive. You can heal on your own even if your spouse never apologizes the way that you wish they would. Even if they keep denying, minimizing, or rewriting what happened, it's still possible. But healing as a couple does require more. It requires some shared version of the same reality. It requires some version of accountability. It means that the person who caused the damage has to admit that there was damage done. So the answer to the question is, yes, you can heal without their accountability, but you cannot truly reconcile without some version of it. Because if your only definition for healing is, they finally admitted to everything exactly the way I see it, then your healing is still in their hands, and that is an awful place to live. But if your definition of reconciliation is, we can move forward even though they still deny, minimize, blame shift, hide, and refuse to understand what they did, then you're not describing reconciliation. You're just describing staying. And those are not the same thing either. You might not like what I'm going to say, but you may never get the admission that you want. They may never say, yes, it was an affair. Yes, I enjoyed it. Yes, I got validation from it. Yes, I was attached to them. Yes, I was considering leaving. Yes, I knew it was wrong and I did it anyway. Yes, I did it, and here are all the exact reasons why. And of course, that hurts. You deserve to be told those things. And I'm sure there's a big part of you that thinks that if they would just admit it, you'd finally be able to breathe. You could stop defending your reality all the time. You could stop arguing for things that feel obvious to you. That desire makes perfect sense. But your sanity can't forever depend on whether or not someone who's already shown a capacity for deception and compartmentalization suddenly becomes the perfect witness to your pain. Sometimes the person who hurt you is not going to be a reliable narrator about what happened. Now, this doesn't mean that you're going to automatically be right about every single detail. You can misunderstand things too, even though you were the one betrayed. Pain can even distort things. Fear can fill in the blanks. You can overemphasize things that weren't even a main factor. But obviously, it's also true that their refusal to validate does not mean that your version of reality is false. And you are definitely allowed to find it deeply unsatisfying if they're trying to claim that it was nothing, that it meant nothing, that especially after they hid it or minimized it or lied about it. If your goal is to heal individually, the goal is not to convince them. The goal is to get free. That doesn't always mean immediate divorce. Sometimes it does. But individual healing is not primarily about legal status. It's about where your emotional authority lives. A lot of the betrayed spouses stay trapped because they're still appealing to the person who hurt them as if that person is the judge, and they're orienting everything around trying to convince that person. So they keep trying to build this case. Don't you see what you did? Don't you see why this was wrong? Don't you see why I called it an affair? Don't you see why I can't just move on? And again, those questions, that line of reasoning, I get it. But at some point, individual healing requires you to stop treating their opinion as if it really matters at all. You might need to get to the point of intentionally devaluing their opinion. If someone refuses to acknowledge reality, why should their opinion carry so much weight inside your mind? If someone keeps minimizing your pain, why should their interpretation of your pain matter more than your own? If someone betrayed you and then appointed themselves the expert on whether or not you're allowed to feel betrayed, why should you keep giving them that power? There are billions of people in the world. Many of them would disagree with you about important things. Many of them would misunderstand you. Some of them would not like you. Some of them would judge you unfairly. And you survive that because their opinions do not occupy any type of sacred place within you. The problem is that your spouse's opinion does occupy that kind of place. And if you're still trying to reconcile, it makes sense for it to. You probably should care what they think because you're trying to rebuild a life together. But if you're healing individually, especially if the relationship is over, functionally over, unsafe, or stuck, you may need to remove their opinion from that spot within you. You can love someone and devalue their opinion. You can care about someone and stop treating their denial as if it means anything at all. I'm very aware that some people just can't even leave the situation. Sometimes there are children, finances, housing issues, immigration issues, religious pressures, health issues, safety concerns, or just complicated timing in general. Sometimes the marriage is externally still intact for those types of reasons, but internally it's dead. In those situations, healing might require a kind of internal separation before there's an external separation. It means in a lot of ways they're kind of dead to you, even while you're still married to them. And that obviously doesn't mean that the pain instantly goes away. It doesn't mean that you try to force yourself to stop caring, but you let that start dying because you stop appealing to their opinion as something that matters. And once you do that, it opens up a lot of space where you once thought, no, I have to get them to get it. You can actually just start to sleep through the night again and not obsessively replaying arguments, trying to build this case in your mind. It means you can stop checking their face for signs of remorse. It means you can start building support outside of them. You can end up being less emotionally reactive. You can become clearer, firmer, less desperate, and you get to decide what you believe happened. It's not easy, but it's definitely possible. And for some betrayed spouses, it is shocking to them how much healing becomes available once they stop trying to drag accountability out of someone who is committed to avoiding it. At some point, you have to ask, what if they never admit it? What kind of life am I going to live then? Now, what if you're healing as a couple? If you want to reconcile, you cannot simply say their opinion doesn't matter. If you're trying to rebuild a marriage, their opinion does matter. Their understanding, their remorse, their willingness to examine themselves are all very important. But even here, there is some nuance. A couple does not have to agree on every label, every interpretation, and every emotional detail in order to heal. For example, one spouse may say that it was both a physical and emotional affair. And the other might say, I understand that you experienced it that way, and I agree that I crossed boundaries, hit things, damaged trust. I even agree it was a physical affair, but I struggle to call it an emotional affair. It was just physical. Is that ideal to have that type of disagreement? No. But is that impossible to work with? Also no. Labels do matter, but they're not the only thing. Sometimes one spouse gets stuck trying to force a specific word while missing the deeper questions. Like, is this person actually taking responsibility for the harm? Are they actually changing in meaningful ways? And are they putting in the work to make me feel safe? So for example, if someone doesn't want to even use the word affair at all, but they're willing to say, I betrayed you, I hid it, I see why it devastated you, I was getting something from that relationship that I should not have been getting, I'm willing to do the work to repair it, that may be far more preferable than a spouse who uses all the correct labels but remains defensive, entitled, and unsafe. So the words do matter, but the overall posture matters far more. And it might be helpful to think about disagreements after betrayal in a couple different categories. So for example, there's survivable disagreement. That's when you don't see every detail the same way, but there's still meaningful accountability. And that's what I was just talking about. In these cases, the disagreement may still hurt, may still be frustrating. You may wish they saw it the exact same way you do, but there's enough shared reality to begin the repair work. You may be able to move forward, not because everything is perfectly aligned, but because the unfaithful spouse is standing in the truth at least enough to become safe. The second category would be when it's hard but possibly workable disagreement. And this is a bit tougher. This is when the unfaithful spouse is still defensive, ashamed, minimizing, or slow to understand, but there's some movement. They may not fully get it yet. They may say things badly. They're still trying to protect themselves. They may be afraid to admit the full extent of what they did and what it meant to them. They may be struggling to face the ugliness of their own choices. But over time, you are seeing some evidence of change. They're less defensive. They're more honest. They're more patient with your pain than they used to be. They're more willing to answer questions. They're more willing to read, talk, reflect, go to counseling, change boundaries, look at themselves. And it's not where you want them to be, but they're moving in the right direction. And this is where patience becomes a personal decision. There is absolutely no rule for how patient you should be. You don't have to try at all. Like, you can leave immediately. And if you do choose to try to reconcile, you're allowed to choose how long you're comfortable being in this stage. And it doesn't have to be a 3 months, 6 months type of answer. It's something you're allowed to feel out day by day, week by week, month by month. And you're allowed to get to the point where you say, I see some progress, but it's not enough. And you're also able to say, I love them so much and I love our life so much that I'm willing to be extra patient. The third category would be just non-workable denial. This is where they keep insisting, it was nothing. I did nothing wrong. You are overreacting. You're just insecure. I got nothing from it. I gave nothing to it. It did not mean anything, so it should not matter. You're the problem because you can't let it go. I already said sorry. What more do you want? I will not talk about this ever again. This is clearly not just disagreement about labels. It's a refusal to enter reality with you. It's also a refusal to acknowledge the pain that you caused. Healthy people don't usually hide things that meant nothing to them. If someone risked the marriage for a connection but insists they got nothing from it, that may be shame talking. It may be self-protection. It might be compartmentalizing. It may be fear. But whatever it is, it's not yet accountability. And if there is no accountability yet at all, not even a little bit, healing as a couple isn't really possible. You may still live together. You may still be married. You may still have calmer days. You may still function. But functioning is not the same thing as actually healing. A marriage can't really heal when one person is saying, I was wounded, and the other is saying, no, you weren't. And if you're listening to this as the betrayed spouse, I want you to understand something and also understand that I'm not saying it to excuse it, but I want to explain a little bit of the psychology behind the unfaithful spouse. People who betray are often split internally. They may have one life where in their mind they're married, committed, responsible, and loyal. Then they have another compartment where they allow something else. Maybe it starts as attention or friendship or nostalgia, complaining, flirting. Maybe it starts just as checking in on an old friend. Maybe it starts as I just needed someone to talk to. But at some point, if there's secrecy, intimacy, an affair, deception, misplaced loyalty, if it gets to that stage, that means that they had been living in a split reality. It's the only way you can get there. One part of them knows or should know that something is off, and another part of them explains it away to themselves. They often justify it in their own head. They're rationalizing it, saying, it's not that bad. We're just friends. I can handle it. I'll make sure I don't cross a line. My spouse would overreact, so I'm only hiding it to avoid drama. I'm not technically cheating. And that split thinking is what allows the betrayal to happen in the first place. And after discovery, that split thinking doesn't magically disappear. So if you're trying to reconcile, expecting immediate, perfect, clean accountability may be unrealistic. It should happen, 100%. It would be right if it happened. And some people do come clean quickly and take deep responsibility right away. But many don't. And that doesn't make their avoidance okay. It just means you're dealing with someone whose relationship with truth may be damaged. In that sense, it's kind of similar to dealing with an addict. That comparison is not meant to remove responsibility. An addict is still responsible for getting help. An addict is still responsible for the damage they cause. An addict's pain does not erase the pain of the people around them. But anybody who's loved an addict knows that denial can be powerful, that they compartmentalize really easily, that the amount of shame that they feel can make getting help that much harder, and they deceive themselves a lot. So you can be firm about what is required while also understanding that they may not be fully in their right mind yet, so to speak. So you can be very clear about needing honesty, accountability, that you need them to stop minimizing, and that at the same time, you can understand if they've been lying for several months or years, that may not untangle fully in one conversation. And you should know that going into it to know whether or not you even want to go through the process of reconciling, because it might require dealing with some of that, them coming back to reality. So to be very clear, for reconciliation to be real, you don't necessarily need perfect agreement, but you do need honesty. And this applies to both the external facts and the internal ones too. So what happened, and also what were you seeking? Both the what and the why. And accountability is not the same thing as vague regret. Not, I'm sorry you feel that way. Not, I'm sorry this became such a big deal. You need empathy. Like, you need to be able to sense the fact that they care about your pain. It also will require changed behavior. Mere words aren't enough. And then they need to be moving toward the truth and reality, becoming more and more honest, more and more transparent, more open, more willing to share their feelings, more willing to share their thoughts, even the dark ones, even the confused ones. That matters a lot more than specific labels. And if you are still feeling hung up on a specific label that you want them to admit to, ask yourself, what am I really wanting? And you might be wanting them to admit something more specific, like, that relationship crossed a line, or I kept something from you, I hid something from you, I gave a type of energy that should only exist in a romantic relationship to someone outside the relationship. I hurt you. I damaged your ability to trust me. I need to fix this. If they can say those things but struggle with the exact label, the two of you may still have a path forward. But if they refuse both the label and the reality underneath it, that's very different. But in the case of someone who really believes they did nothing wrong, then it really doesn't matter the rest. You can't force someone to repent for something they don't believe was wrong. You can't pressure them into saying the right words. You can argue with them as much as you want, but you can't build safety on a forced or fake accountability. So watch out for someone who only apologizes to get you to stop talking. At some point in all of this, the betrayed spouse has to reclaim agency. Not because the betrayal was their fault, but because the healing is now their responsibility. And that sounds unfair, because it is. But it's also the reality. I sincerely hope that everyone watching this or listening to this has a path toward healing as a couple, if that's what they want. But if it's not there, recognize that a time might come when healing has to become a completely solo journey. And as painful as that is, it's also the first place that you get your power back.